Tonight I want to speak on the subject, dwell deep, dwell deep. There's six chapters in the book of Jeremiah that deal with God's judgment on Israel's enemies. They're chapters 46 through 51. There's 52 books altogether, or 52 chapters altogether in the book of Jeremiah. And again, six of those chapters, God is using the prophet Jeremiah to spell out the punishment that's going to come on the enemies of Israel, on the enemies of God's people. And the verses that we read a moment ago from chapter 49 talks about the judgment that's going to come on the nation of Edom. They were descendants of Esau. And in verse 8, it said, turn back. Let me get the right verse here, right chapter. Chapter 49, verse 8 says, flee ye, turn back, and dwell deep. And he was talking to Dedan, the inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, upon the land of Edom, the descendants of Esau. Again, they were God's enemies, and they had done some things that God was not pleased with, and so he was going to bring the punishment upon them. But in verse 8, he's not talking to the people that dwell in Edom. He's talking to the inhabitants of Dedan. It was a group of people that lived within the country of Edom, but they weren't Edomites. In other words, they were not citizens of that country. In fact, they were merchants. Isaiah in another place called them traveling bands. And what they did is they went throughout the land of Edom and they sold their goods to the Edomites. And so here's what God was saying. He says, I'm going to bring my punishment on the descendants of Esau upon the Edomites. I'm going to pour out my judgment in payment for their sins. But you citizens of Dedans, you Dedanites, I don't have anything against you. You haven't sinned against me. You haven't treated my people wrong. And so he says to them, I want you to flee. I want you to turn back. I want you to dwell deep. In other words, when the judgment comes, I want you to go out and find you a cave somewhere, and I want you to hide away. When the judgment comes, I want you to go deep into the forest and deep into the woods and find a secret hiding place. And then when judgment comes, you're still going to have to suffer the trouble that comes along with that judgment. But I want you to dwell deep so that when the trouble comes, as it will, because you're in the midst of this people that I'm going to punish, you can make it. You will be okay. Now, here's my premise tonight. We as Christians are like the Dedanites. We live in a world that is not our home. That song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we look forward, as Teresa's saying, to Beulah Land. We look forward to that place that we're going to go after we leave this body and we're going to dwell with God forever. And while we're in this world, we have actually a better deal than the Dedanites because we don't have anything to sell. We have something to give away. And what we have to give away is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I will tell you tonight, we live in a nation that will be punished by God. And as God punishes this nation, say, why do you think God's going to punish this nation? I don't need to tell you. I mean, we kill thousands of babies every week. We let sin run rampant in the streets. You can be sued. You can be sued if you don't give a gay homosexual person their rights. I'm not going to chase that rabbit tonight. You know what I'm talking about. We've taken prayer out of school. We're trying to take God out of everything that he should be in the middle of. I wouldn't be surprised if someday somebody say we ought to take a chisel to every national monument that we have where we've inscribed the Ten Commandments, we've inscribed our trust in God, and chisel it off the marble. Now, don't think for a minute that God is not going to punish our country. But we are citizens of that country, and we ought to pray, and revival will come to our country if it will start in us. But God will punish our nation, and we will suffer the trouble that comes with that punishment. And God, I think, says to us the same things He said, same thing that He said to the Dedanites. When that punishment comes, when those troubles come, I want you to dwell deep. I want you to dwell deep, because I'll take care of you if you do. It's like Abraham. God made an agreement with Abraham. The land of Canaan is yours. It belongs to you and your seed. And Abraham knew it was his. But I'll remind you tonight, the only piece of the promised land that Abraham owned was a field with the end, with a cave in the end of it, where he and Sarah were buried. Here's what Abraham says. He says, "Hey, I don't have time to buy anything else because I'm not going to be here that long." Now, Abraham lived to be 175 years, and I don't know how old he was when God called him from the Ur of the Chaldees. Maybe he lived in the promised land a long time, but he said, "I ain't going to be here long. No use for me to buy a homestead. I'll buy a cemetery plot, but no use for me to be a homestead," because it says in Hebrews 11, chapter 9, "By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country." He sojourned in it. He went up and down in it. He lived in it for a long time. But it says in Hebrews, "For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham said, "Hey, if I'm here 100 years, I ain't going to make this world my home, because it's not. I'm a stranger in it. I'm looking for the home, or a city whose foundation is laid by God." I wish we could get that same thought into our little heads. I wish we could understand that the time we spend on this earth is like a drop of water compared to the ocean. Like a grain of sand compared to all the sand on a beach, when we compare the years that we spend on this earth to eternity. Don't amount to anything. Don't amount to anything. Now, I know sometimes it seems like, you know, it's a long life. And I'm finding, as many of you have told me, that what happened, the older I get, the quicker it goes. And I can't believe it's already at the end of August, and pretty soon Christmas will be here, and we'll be at the end of the year, and it seems like the year has just gone by like that. But the life we spend on this earth is so short compared to eternity. And here's what God says. He said, "Now look, time you spent here is going to be a time of trouble. It's going to be a time of trouble." Brother Chuck and I were talking in the hospital yesterday, and he was down yesterday, and he was just saying, he said, "Preacher, I just don't understand why all this is happening at once. I just don't understand why everything seems to be happening at once." I said, "Brother Chuck, God knows what he's doing. I mean, I know you're hurt. You know, they lost Cheryl not too long ago. Brother Chuck's been in and out of the hospital, got some other things going on in his life. But God knows what he's doing." Had a lady this morning as she left. I pray for her every day because I know what she goes through. She says, "Been a rough week, preacher. Been a rough week." I said, "I pray for you every day. Just hang in there." We had another person in our church this week that in a matter of moments, every dream was shattered for the future. I can't go into it right now, and maybe some of you know what I'm talking about, but it's not because I told you. But just in a few moments, every dream that that person had for the future was shattered, just like this, just like that, just like that. And you know, it could happen to any single one of us if God allowed it. I mean, Lois Merkel told me this morning, she says, I had three people come and visit me yesterday. I want to dispel a rumor, and I'll tell you why I think it started. She said, "I had three people come to visit me, invite me to church." And she said, "I told them I already go to church." And they said, "Well, where do you go?" And she said, well, I go to Fellowship Baptist. And she said, oh, and they said, oh, Daryl Manning's the pastor there. And she said, yes, that's right. And they said, you know he's going to retire? And she got a little upset with me. She said, if you're going to retire, I want to hear it from you, not three people that come to my front door that I have no idea who they are. I said, well, I'll dispel that rumor, Lois. I am not retiring. Of course, then I found out that Brother Leonard's praying that I'm retiring, and God always answers prayers, so that's probably where they got that rumor. But no, I'm not, just so you know, I don't care who tells you anything that comes to your door. I'm not planning on retiring. But someday I hope to plan on retiring, but I want to tell you something. My plans for the future and your plans for the future could change just like that. In a moment. In a heartbeat. And there will be times. I think about Larry and Bev. You know, they've seen to have, they've had their share of problems. I mean, you know, they just came to pile one on top of the other on top of the other. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. They're going to come. Troubles will come. Dwell deep. Dwell deep. Dwell deep. Dwell deep in the Word of God. You say, I have a Bible. I believe the Bible. I love the Bible. I agree with you. I have a Bible. I read the Bible. I love the Bible. But here's what I'm saying. When troubles come, go deeper into your Bible. If you read it for 15 minutes a day, when trouble comes, double it. Go to a half an hour a day. If more trouble comes, double it again and read it for an hour a day. Go deeper. Dwell deeper. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I hath not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. You know, the one who wrote this book wants to tell you more about it. The one who inspired men to pen it thousands of years ago and told them what word to write and what punctuation to mark. He's the one that today wants to be our teacher and wants to explain to us. And by the way, when I say go dwell deeper, I'm not talking about getting out on the limb with some of these guys that try to teach deep things. You know what I found? The deepest things in the Bible are the simplest things. The simplest things. Like I've been thinking for the past several weeks, I just don't understand how God could love a sinner like me. I mean, I just don't understand it. It's a simple, simple thing. God loves me. I mean, we teach our children from the time they're little babies. God loves you. Simple, simple idea. Simple, simple thought. But man, it is deep. It's deep. The more I think about it, the more I don't understand it. The more I think about it, the more I want to say, like we sang this morning, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us. In Psalm 119, verse 103, the Bible says this, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Whenever Adam and Chantel and I, a lot of times on Wednesday night after church, when I don't get to eat dinner beforehand, we'll go to Cracker Barrel and we'll have dinner after church. We'll have a staff meeting. That's what I call it. So I get home and Debbie says, where you been? I said, I'll have a staff meeting with the church staff. And Chantel always orders honey. And I usually steal one of her honeys and pour it on a piece of cornbread and or a biscuit because it's sweet. The psalmist says the Bible is like that. It's sweet. It's sweet to Christians like we were talking about this morning that fall into sin. One of our men came out after this morning service. He said, you know, preacher, I was one of those doves that was outside of the ark for a while. And he says, I claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I said to him, boy, that's a sweet verse, isn't it? He said, you betcha. You betcha. The Bible is sweet to those that fall into sin. It's sweet to those who need comfort. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, the Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. There'll be valleys that we'll have to pass through. There'll be fires that we have to pass through. There'll be trials and tribulations that we'll have to pass through. But praise God, we do not go through them alone. I will be with thee. The Bible is sweet to the mind that's confused. In the 119th Psalm, the Bible says about itself, it giveth understanding to the simple. Boy, I'm glad of that. I'm glad that God gives understanding to the simple. I claim that verse, Brother Terry. I want his understanding because I'm simple. I mean, I like simple things. You just ask anybody that knows me well. I'd just soon sit down to a bowl of beans and cornbread than I would eat a steak. Amen. That's right, Brother Leonard. I mean, I'd just soon have a bowl of banana pudding than that stuff you set on fire. I don't even know what it is. Flamboyer or flambé or something like that. Yeah, that's right, bud. I'm getting the signal from the back. I'd rather go to McDonald's and have a hamburger than I would have to put on a tuxedo and go to a fancy restaurant. I'm thankful for the simple things, and I'm thankful that we got a God that honors the simple. The Bible's sweet. It's sweet to the weak. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I like to look up verses in the Greek. I don't know any Greek by heart, but I like to just look up certain verses. And when I looked up that verse and looked at all the words, what it means is, he just keeps pouring strength into me. When I get tired, he just keeps pouring strength into me. When I get wore out, he just keeps pouring strength into me. When I don't think I can take another step, he just keeps pouring strength into me. That's sweet. It's sweet to the troubled. Psalm 119, verse 71. Al, I thought about you when I put this verse in my note. This verse in my notes. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes and be drawn closer to thee. You know, that's what God wants to happen when trouble comes into our life. He wants us to drive us deeper into the Bible, deeper into His Word, deeper into the sweetness and the preciousness that's in that book. I was thinking as I was coming to church tonight about an example that I could use. I thought the first one that came to mind, because I want to describe for you what the Bible should be to us every day. And I started to say, you know, the Bible ought to be like eating. Every day we eat, and then we don't eat, we miss it. But I know some of you can go a day or two without eating and without missing it. So I thought that would be a bad example. So I thought of another example. Reading the Bible ought to be like brushing your teeth. You know how? What did he say? Oh, okay. Reading the Bible ought to be like brushing your teeth. You know, there are days when I can go the whole day without eating, and I don't miss it. Don't miss it at all. Usually because I've eaten so much the day before, I can last a whole day. But I tell you what, if I go a whole day without brushing my teeth, I don't know about you, but I feel terrible. I mean, sometimes at night, I'm so tired. Thursday was a long day for me. I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, catch a flight at 6:30 from Detroit. And plane was late. We sat on the runway. I was late when I got down to Jackson, Mississippi. It was 106 degrees when I got off. The air conditioning was broken, the plant. We spent till about 9 o'clock at night, and then we went for a late dinner. I got back to the room. I says, I'm just going to go to bed. And I thought to myself, I can't do it. Brother Harold, I had to brush my teeth. Now, here's my point. Every single day, if we don't spend time in God's Word, here's the way I feel when I don't brush. I feel dirty all over. I mean, I can take a shower and not brush my teeth and still feel dirty. This is probably more personal than you ever wanted to hear, but I'm trying to give you an example. Reading the Bible, it ought to be like that. I mean, if we go through the whole day and go to bed at night and don't spend time in God's Word, we ought to just feel dirty. Like we've missed the most important thing of the day. So when trouble comes, dwell deep in the Word of God. Number two, dwell deep in the knowledge of Christ. In other words, when trouble comes, get to know Him better. Say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. I know about Jesus, I read about Him in the Bible, and I love the stories about Jesus. But you know what? You can always learn more about Him. You can always get deeper. Paul said this in the book of Philippians. He said, what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. And yea, I count all things but loss, and count them but dung, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection. Boy, if there's anybody that knew Jesus, it was Paul. Met Him on the road to Damascus. Heard Him speak from heaven. Spent 3 years in the wilderness studying underneath His teaching. Preached, taught, suffered. And you would think if anybody knew Paul, or anybody knew Jesus, it was the Apostle Paul. He said, I want to know Him more. More. We sing that little chorus. More about Jesus would I know, more of His love to others show. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. And then the chorus, more about Jesus. And when trouble comes, dwell deep. Get to know Him more. And then number three, when trouble comes, dwell deep in the power of God. In the power of God. We get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. You say, preacher, well, when I got saved, I didn't get any of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you did. You got all the Holy Spirit. He moves in. Now, He only takes those parts of our life that we give Him. I was thinking about the story of Josiah, the little child king who, when he was 16 years old, decided he was going to clean out the temple. The king before him had let the worshipers of Baal move all sorts of filth into the temple, and he called the priests together, and he said, I want you to go clean it out. I want you to just get everything that's related to Baal, and I want you to take it out, and I want you to burn it, and I want you to just clean up God's house. And the priest came back, I think it was after 8 days, and said to the king, we've got it all cleaned out. We got it all cleaned out. He said, go ahead and move the things of God back into it. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit waits for us to do. He comes in and says, I want to fill you. But what He waits for us to do is take different parts of our life and say, okay, I'm getting rid of this. Now you can move in. I'm getting rid of this. Now you can move in. I'm getting rid of this. Now you can move in. And that's what He does. And when trouble comes, we ought to be like that little boy king that says, hey, there's some parts of my life that still has some of the world in it. And Lord, with Your help, I'm going to take the world out of it so that the Holy Spirit of God can move into it. And when trouble comes, and by the way, you've heard me say this many times before, when trouble comes, here's what God's doing us. He's saying, I want you to be closer to me. I want you to get deeper into your Bible. I want you to get deeper into your knowledge of Christ. I want you to get deeper and let the Holy Spirit have more of you. That's what he says. And so that's why the Bible says that when trouble comes, we can rejoice. We can rejoice. And I know we don't feel like rejoicing in the middle of trouble. I know. But when you stop and think that what God is doing in your life when trouble comes, is he saying to you, hey, I want to be closer. I want you to get closer to me. I want you to get deeper into my word. I want you to know Jesus more than you knew him yesterday. I want you to have more of the Holy Spirit. And if God has to use trouble to bring that into our life, then rejoice when trouble comes. Rejoice when it comes. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the simple truth that's in this.